So if they keep speeding up these trends, then you'll have this feeling of falling behind in a way. I think that a lot of people feel this, where it's like, you got to wear the new Adidas, you know, get rid of your Nike shoes because those are done. And
true.
kind of thing. And it's like, and you have this psychological aspect of yourself where you're like, oh, I'm not wearing the shoes everyone else is wearing. No one thinks I'm cool. No one thinks I'm going to like me. You know, that's kind of, what's it? Exemplifying this, but you know, it's that same kind of idea where you feel it in the back of your head. And so with these, you know, faster trends and cheaper trends, it is enticing to us to buy cheaper stuff and to also fit in more. So we keep purchasing more items and giving money to these companies. And since they're made of cheaper material, we don't wear them as often. And at the same time, we also throw them out faster to repurchase more items because there's another trendy item that we can buy. So it's faster for that. And I don't know when it stops, because I feel like even lately, like in the past maybe decade, it's gone even faster where trends can switch in weeks.
Like yeah, weeks. It's just accelerating. Like capitalism at this point is accelerating in pretty much every aspect. So of course, like, you know, consumption is going to be more and more and more emphasized. Mm-hmm. And also just like the superficiality of it as well is getting more and more important.
Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like we're just getting shorter in time here. Like TikTok, for example, is same. Like we've gone from YouTube videos that are 10 minutes to 10 second TikToks.
Yeah.
So that's fast fashion. So I think I also wanted to see what our viewpoints are on this, or what we have seen more personally in this, you know, fashion industry. And since both of us are also, I'd say, pretty into fashion as well, or like thrifting and clothing, I think for my perspective on this, with me in fashion, I don't think I'm very mindful when it comes to purchasing in general, but specifically for clothing is my vice, because like, even I mostly thrift my stuff, but I feel like I waste my money, because even the stuff that I see, I'm like, oh, I just like it. You know, I don't love it, but I still want that feeling of buying it. And so that's where my money ends up. And so I just get broker, or I just lose more money, and I just contribute more into just consuming more. And those consuming habits can spread into me actually buying actual clothes and things, because sometimes I do want actual clothes that aren't thrifted. Mm-hmm. So it can kind of spill over into other areas.
Yeah, I also have sometimes, it's such a bad mindset, but when you spend, I don't know, like 2 hours at Value Village and you don't find anything, you're like, dang mm-hmm. it. Going home empty-handed, like this is kind of a bad thing in a way, right? But if you didn't find anything, you know, just keep it that way. And there doesn't need to be such an emphasis on buying something. And it's just mm-hmm. this urge to buy something that I feel in myself, which is not very healthy.
It's hard to leave the store empty. I also feel like they think I'm stealing if I leave empty too. I don't know why I feel so awkward.
Yeah, I mean, stealing from Value Village is... Anyway.
But yeah, there's that. And I think as well, I think fashion itself, as you said before, it's a form of self-expression. And I love fashion personally. Like, I like expressing myself through fashion and being able to show myself through it. But I think there's a point where I'm just only starting now to realize that I think I value self-expression through just my appearance too much. Mm. I should be learning, and I want to now learn to value self-expression through other aspects of my life. Because I think that when I was young, I don't know where I learned, but that appearance was the most important. And so I used fashion in a way because, of course, it's tied with appearance. And I feel like I want to start going into other aspects of life, like, you know, poetry, or, I don't know, filming videos that also do the same thing. And so that's also something I noticed.
Yeah, that is a good point. I feel like fashion is really tied to my sense of identity as well. And kind of controls, like I have more control over how other people perceive me in a way. And like I can control how I want to be perceived. But I feel like I also overemphasize how important it is. And I have a lot of clothes already, like thinking about how many clothes I own. I know people who own more, like way more, but I'm still like, I don't know if I need like 7 pairs of pants. Yeah. Like that is a lot. That is a lot.
But it feels so, and it feels so good when you find a piece of clothing that's like, that's me.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, I found it.
I know. That is like the self-expression part too. But yeah, anyways, I have 7 pairs of pants and multiple of them, like multiple pairs of them are disintegrating. Like they're pretty much ripping apart, like slowly falling off my body, and I'm not learning to like how to sew and patch them up, because there's been this one pair of pants, they've been patched up like 2 or 3 times by someone else and they're still like falling apart, but I'm trying to save them and I'm just not doing a good job. So I feel like learning the actual, taking time, sitting down, learning the skills that you need to be able to mend them properly is important, because I'm just taking like a needle and thread. It's not even like a subtle color. I'll be like bright red, just like needling it up. Falls apart in the washing machine. Like it, yeah, I think I need to work on that for sure.
So that moves into our kind of last section where what can we actually do about this? And I think mending is something that I guess both of us want to do, which is good. Yay,
mending.
Yay, mending. But yeah, I think just to also preface before getting into these techniques of how to break free, not break free, but at least, you know, understand and try to push the industry, is that I think particularly I need to learn that, you know, fast fashion is rooted in our self-esteem. It is meant to make us feel bad and need to fit in and to please others. And so even just resisting to fast fashion itself and doing things like, you know, mending your clothes or wearing clothes that aren't trendy right now on purpose is a form of resisting other parts of capitalism, such as its impact on the beauty industry or the body stand, like with body standards as well.
Yes. I agree.
I think personally, like after this topic and with the Facebook reels and seeing, you know, people mending and doing these things, I've actually started to feel better about my appearance and my body as well, all kind of packaged in one. So I think maybe start there if you also have problems or with your self-esteem and that, because I didn't realize that this would actually make me feel better.
Why do you think it makes you feel better?
I think that understanding that fast fashion is all a part just to make money and to make us feel bad, I can be like, oh, well, that's just the same with the beauty industry. You know, they're just trying to make us feel bad for not fitting this mold. And same with, you know, the body industry. It's like not fitting this mold. But once you just start doing your own thing and realizing that it doesn't matter, and it, like, your clothes are fine, no one makes fun of you right there and then, it's like, oh, well, why am I conforming and doing and appealing to all these other things that capitalism also has roots on?
Yeah, because I guess it is kind of a small form of rebellion that is more true to who you are. So that's also might be why it feels nice.
So that, yeah, that's just more overview. But the first thing other than that mending thing, which we'll get to, is just being mindful in general. So I think just being aware of this whole idea that, you know, there are people who do clothing hauls and there's always trends that are happening, but do you want to participate in this trend, and who are you actually buying this for? You know, like, I think we all understand the idea that it's better to have quality items over quantity as well. There's also the question of, if you have a similar piece of clothing, like, do you have a pair of pants that already look like this, but this one has a fancy patch on it, for example? Like, do you really need that? And how often will you wear it? And some things, like, buying secondhand, which is always great. I think too much secondhand can also be bad, which is my opinion, which I'm trying to actually stop with just too much consumption. But, you know, check on Facebook Marketplace, or there's the online sites like ThredUp, Depop. And personal tip as well for mindfulness is when you go out to get something, make sure that you buy an item that you really love. Like, if you go to a store or you go to the thrift shop and you just like the item, you're like, yeah, I'd like this and I'd wear it. But if you can't love it, I feel like you shouldn't get it. But that's my opinion, because whenever I get something that I just like, I don't think I'd never wear it as much as I want to.
Yeah. And if you love it, then you actually have incentive to take care of it and repair it too, if mm-hmm. it, you know, gets a little broken down. Also, it might be good to just look out for biodegradable materials, even if you're thrifting or if you're at the mall too. I'm not sure how many of these items they have at Zara, for example, but looking for materials like linen, cotton, wool, silk, so they're not, you know, sitting in a landfill after you're done with them for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And also just trying to boycott any kind of fast fashion brands. I think it's fine to buy them secondhand, but especially Shein, Zara, H&M, like mm-hmm. those are major contributors to the problem.
And then the second part as well is just mending and sewing your clothes. I think this is something I really want to learn, because I don't even remember the last time I sewed something mm-hmm, other than middle school, being forced to in a home ec class. But I think that if everyone had the skills to learn how to mend, you know, simple stitches with just a needle and thread, you could fix a lot of things that you don't have to throw out. So right now, even I'm just sitting here and the bottom of my pants are torn up. Like, my pants are already too long, and so they're ripped all at the bottom, and I don't really know what to do, but I do know that I want to fix them somehow. And so some people may just throw out their pants if that happens because it looks bad. But I think that you can get creative with it, and you can watch a quick video, do some threading. Sewing is not that hard in mending. I think arguably.
Maybe. Yeah, I guess mending. Sewing? Sewing something from scratch?
I think from scratch. Okay, yeah. Sewing, I think, is hard. If you're trying to make a whole new item, mm-hmm. that is hard. But I think just mending,
yeah.
I think mending is the main thing to tackle. And even I think creating patches is a little harder, but that could be even more fun and a way to self-expression.
True.
And I thought this was interesting as well with the mending clothes, because we did a previous episode on kintsugi, which is the Japanese art form of repairing pottery with gold lacquer. And it's that saying where, you know, something was broken before and you mend it up with some gold lacquer and it looks even better. I think that the same thing can happen with clothes. For example, a pair of pants that, you know, have a big rip on the side of them, and you put some funky patches on them, and automatically they're unique and they're your own pants.
Yeah, they're like way cooler. When I see somebody has a mended item, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, it's so cool.
You go.
It is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mending itself is resistance, because you are going against what the companies want you to think about yourself. And they want you to keep throwing money at them and buying, you know, their cheap pants so you can get another pair of pants from them, which are also cheap, and keep going with the trend. Or you can keep your own quality piece of pant or quality pair of jeans, mend them up, show them proudly, and they look cool. I feel like that is the way to go.
Yes. Mending for the win.
Mending for the win. What, do you have one more point?
Okay, like my final point, I wasn't sure whether or not to say it because I don't know the point of saying it, but individual action is good. It is necessary to start changing, you know, the culture that we have of overconsumption. But I think it's hard when we talk about these kind of issues that are all linked back to capitalism, as, you know, being able to be reformed in some way, or if enough of us do this, you know, companies are going to pay their workers more. So it is, I see that these, like, doing these things, we should definitely be doing them. I'm not saying, like, oh, it's pointless to do them, because even just, like, a few clothes that we can save from going into the landfill sooner rather than later is good. But, yeah, it's just something to keep in mind is that it's systemic, right? So,
yeah, it's kind of like turning off the light when you leave the house. It's like, it's going to help, but not everyone is doing it.
Yeah, I guess just like just doing this won't necessarily help. There's a lot of other things we can do, which could be another episode. But yeah, I don't, there's not like a huge point to saying it. But
I think when it gets helpful is when the topic starts spreading. So when other people are starting to talk about mending, I think that the root idea at least can latch on and be spread, like on the radio, for example, or on the reels that people can see, because then they can go and tell other people. Because maybe with the mending clothes, like, it sounds simple, but then with the other industries, like, you know, the beauty industry and the body standard industry, I think personally, like, I feel like when I am starting to conquer my fear of not dressing with the trends and dressing for myself, I feel like I'm also starting to back away from the beauty and the body standards. So maybe that if people are more aware of this one industry, they can start seeing a more external perspective of everything. You know, it's just a thought.
No, I think like being introduced into like a small action you can take, I think it's pretty, you know, well agreed upon that environmental impacts are really bad and people should not be exploited. But then actually starting to take action yourself will start to change the values that you have and that you carry, and maybe other people around you, and hopefully that will, you know, be like a starting point to try to take further action, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's good to do some mending.
Mend. And there's also that with that, once it gets to more of a collective action, there's this one resistance that specifically teach people, teach strangers how to mend their garments in public. These guys are called the Edinburgh Street Stitchers. I thought that was really cute.
That's cool.
They sit in their camper chairs, sit on the street, and they have their signs, and then they help teach you the skills for free. And also going back to another episode of Slumber Party where we talked about gift economies, so this is just a whole throwback episode.
It's tying everything together.
Everything's a circle. Mm-hmm. Everything's a circle. And we talked about gift economies and just teaching skills and giving your time away. And I think it's very beautiful as well about the resistance, because it's also community and it's just kind as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good thing to do. So I think I need to learn how to mend.
Let's start mending this year.
We are going to start mending.
We should actually start mending. Actually,
we'll talk later. We'll talk later about this. But that was the wrap up of, I guess, fashion and mending, and just the industry in general. If you've forgotten about the effects of all the clothes you're buying, just be aware.
Be aware.
So we have only about 10-ish minutes left, so we're gonna finish off with a couple songs, I believe.
Yes. Next up is Lynn's open mic and then Bitcoover at 8 p.m. So stay tuned for that. Thank you for listening today, and
we're gonna do one more song. Yeah. So this one is called Audacity by Hyunji A.
She's a Canadian producer. Pretty good song.
Hope you enjoy and see you next week.
Enjoy.
Did you think?
Max and Maria dream of skating for gold. Alex dreams of a life free of needles and pain beyond the walls of a hospital room. Right now in Canada, more than 10,000 children are being treated for cancer, and one in five will not survive. When you support Childhood Cancer Canada, you help fund critical research and provide financial assistance to families in their fight. Give life to dreams beyond kids' cancer at livefordreams.ca.
Joint. Here's the keys, joint.
Yo, I'm not driving. I'm way too stoned. How are you feeling, beer?
Oh, since we had that talk, I'm not driving tonight at all.
What about you, Dave?
You only had a couple of drinks.
And only a couple of puffs.
I don't drink and drive. No way I'm getting behind the wheel when I smoked weed, too.
How are we getting home, then?
Come on, Dave. Take one for the team.
Don't let weed and alcohol influence your decision to drive.
Yeah, I need a ride.
A message from Mad Canada.
Piece of the 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 pi